I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular. Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm coming back to you and making sure that you live in a most spectacularly way, both in your life and in your work. And I'm here with Hannah O'Donovan. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Jody. I'm so, so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Me too. This is going to be great. Let me tell you something about Hannah. After shutting down a multi six-figure business due to a life-threatening burnout and daily anxiety, Hannah O'Donovan rebuilt her work from alignment rather than survival. She is a somatic channel, nervous system specialist, and founder of the Untamed Divine Feminine, a body of work helping visionary women release anxiety-inducing ambition and creating success that feels aligned, embodied, and financially sustainable. Hannah bridges nervous system science with embodied leadership and energy work. She guides women who know they're meant for more to transmute survival patterns into embodied power, so success no longer comes at the cost of their well-being. Her work supports women in building lives rooted in wealth, love, legacy, and unapologetic self-trust. Wow, you know, Hannah, I just want all of that right now. I want that to soak in to my body. I mean, you know, women tend to be anxiety, you know, driven and inducing anyways, because I think it's our socialization that we always want to be perfect. You know, even going back, you were working in a multi six-figure business. Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about your burnout and what led to what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a global event producer for about 15 years. I came to it kind of by accident out of university. I got home and needed work, and a family friend was looking for just a few weeks of coverage as they were sort of restructuring, got into the business, and it really fueled my need for external validation, which I didn't realize that's what it was back then, but it was fast-paced, high energy, high adrenaline, constant deadlines, and constant praise, because that's how the industry, a lot of industries, but particularly the event production industry, survives, because they need you to work hard, fast, and a lot of hours.
And they want you to do it their way perfectly, and they don't want anything to happen, which of course is impossible.
Yeah, exactly. It's constant risk mitigation, thinking ahead to problems and challenges that may come up and solving for those, making sure the visitor experience is really clean and beautiful. And especially as, you know, social media took off and people were able to talk about bad experiences on the spot right there and then, really like making sure, okay, this is going to go off without a hitch. And my high achieving, academically focused mind, I had gotten really good grades in school, loved this, loved someone telling me, you're doing such a good job, you're natural at this, you're amazing, you're really good. So I was like, amazing, I'm so good at this, I should keep doing it, I should keep going. And it led to me actually, I was working for corporations, and then I went out on my own to freelance, and I was building this business. I went out like a year before the pandemic, and then
Good timing.
perfect
Wow, the
timing.
universe really spoke to you in that way.
Yeah, exactly. And then pivoted really hard in that year of the pandemic, because obviously live events were not a thing. And then that slowdown, though, allowed me like that little bit of space, as I think it did a lot of people, to say, wait a second. Is this actually what I want? And so I already had that feeling that I was maybe going to make a shift. And then fall of 2021, I hit major, major burnout. My nervous system just said, no more. Like, you are so misaligned. And I thank my body every day for doing what it did. Although in the moment, it was hard. I wanted to like escape my own being because I had just pushed so hard, both from a professional point of view in a misaligned relationship, and sorry, a personal point of view in a misaligned relationship, and then a professional point of view with the work I was doing. And my body asked me to slow down in no uncertain terms, and I did. And that led me into neuroscience, somatic work, nervous system work. And then I had a great spiritual awakening, which has led me to where I am now, realizing that we don't have to do success in the way that was, a lot of people and women especially believe is the only way to do it, which is very masculine coded.
I love the way you're using masculine versus feminine. And when we get out of college and we're in our 20s, we want to rock it. We've got the energy, we've got the drive, we want to figure out, okay, what am I good at? And I will push until I figure it out and am successful. Let's say 20s, 30s, and even 40s. We work with people by 50s, your energy is starting to drop, and you're saying, I just can't do this, or something is not giving back and fulfilled. So it's interesting that you were able to listen to your body, because a lot of women think they have to keep going. This is the way I get my validation. I'm good at it. Well, of course you're good at it. You've been doing it 20 years. You've figured it all out. And maybe some women don't want to take risks at doing something different. That's too much of a pivot. So going back to you, you've had these awakenings, these aha moments. Tell me what that was like. I'd love to hear about your spiritual awakening. I'd love to hear about burnout and saying no. How were you very committed to that in that process?
Thank you. That's a really good question, because I think that that is really at the core of the work that I do with clients, that it's not like a light switch moment, which I know a lot of us would love for it to be. And I certainly was there at some point. I thought, even as much as I understood the concept that it's a journey, not a destination, when it comes to life, when it comes to human evolution, when it comes to your relationship with yourself, I still really wanted it to be a destination where one day I would get there and it would be this like Narnia experience where I didn't have to suffer or feel pain again. And that's not it. However, it was a slow devotion to self, which is this framework that I now use with women, is micro moments of coming back to yourself again and again and again. Because even though this is the work that I do, and even though I had this big moment, this big burnout realization, and really shifted how I was doing things in life, it doesn't mean that I don't get into seasons, especially as a business owner, where I have to work hard and there are a lot of things on my plate. Like, for example, right now, my partner and I are going through renovating a home. We both work for ourselves, we both run our own businesses, where like there's many, many things going on, and it's just a busier season, which is why it's so important that I have these things in place. And these things look like it's a lot of nervous system work. So, nervous system rituals, micro moments of pleasure, and really prioritizing that. Because I think when a lot of people who get into the space of burnout tend to come from a lens of high achieving, overachieving, that external validation. And we put the to-do list before the pleasure, before the devotion to self, always, because that's how we've just learned to keep moving through, to keep going. And it's reversing that. For me, it started so small. Like, literally, I will say I was ignoring my own body's cues, like when I needed to go to the bathroom. And so it started that small, where I was like, oh, when I need to go to a coach, actually, who I worked with at the time, was like, when you need to go to the bathroom, you need to get up and go to the bathroom, because otherwise you're teaching your body that it needs to send up greater, bigger alarm signals, because it's like, well, she's not listening with these basic things that we need to do. Same thing with eating. And I will say, after my kind of big burnout moment did come an ADHD diagnosis. So I was late diagnosed in my early 30s, which was a huge aha moment for me, understanding that my brain worked differently than some others, and the box that I was trying to fit myself in really was what was kind of damaging my relationship to myself. Because I could be like, why can't I do it like that person? Why can't I do it all? Why do I struggle to put on the brakes when I need to put on the brakes, which is a big thing with ADHD? Why can't I remember people's? I can run my own business and I can figure out how to do something from start to finish without anyone teaching it to me, but I can't remember my friends' birthdays. Like, this feels completely off. So it was a lot of like that, the micro moments, the nervous system rituals, and rest for me, a lot of just when my body was asking for rest, actually building that in versus saying, oh, in 2 weeks when things get quieter, I'll take some time.
And they never do.
No, never. It will
Two
never
weeks, it's
happen.
like, it's interesting because, with the neuroscience, with our neurons, with our neuroplasticity, which we hope will change, doesn't. Because if we're going to be doing the same patterning day after day, I'm going to sit in front of my computer and work, I'm going to ignore signals, I'm going to push myself, I'm always going to feel in survival mood, using survival mind, which is typically scanning for things like, okay, what's wrong? Or what's missing, and I need to jump on that. That's all our mind will know. And it's not about going deeper and questioning that. It's living through that. Is that some of what you think you were going through?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I was part of the reason, and I call it a nervous system collapse. I don't know that that's the medical term. Some, we used to refer to it as a nervous breakdown. There's lots of different language, but my nervous system got kind of stuck in a state of fight flight for a few months when it was like really at its worst point. And I realized I had only really been existing from survival mode. I was experiencing daily anxiety, which just increased, and my body was sending me all the signals that, looking back now, were very obvious. I was losing hair. I was had major digestive issues. My panic was really a really high level. And I was caught in this cycle of fight, flight, freeze, collapse. And my body was struggling to come out of that for any sort of extended period, which is what we really need, right? Like, fight, flight, all of that is really important because it is part of our survival system. We are not meant to just stay in one state forever in our nervous systems. It's our ability to come back to baseline when we have been put into an activated state that's so important. And I just wasn't coming back to baseline, at least for not any extended period, because as I mentioned, I was working in a really high stress situation, and at that point for myself. But then I was coming home, and my relationship was also causing a lot of
Oh,
anxiety and
boy.
stress. And so there was no off switch, which I think is a really, really important thing for us to understand, is that, like, yes, we are. Life is life. You're not going to necessarily get yourself into a position where there's no stress or there's no outside factors, there's no pressure. But where are your spaces of respite? Are they at home? Are you carving those spaces out for yourself, where you can, to get some of that respite? And the other thing that I really, really noticed once I understood that I had been in this space of like kind of constant survival, constant activation without coming back and to my baseline a lot, was this idea that you mentioned earlier about masculine versus feminine, this energy that we embody, that all of us as humans, regardless of your gender, embody and ideally want to find a balance that works for us. And I was so imbalanced. I was so in my hyper masculine all the time because that's the only way that I understood how to achieve success. I didn't understand a different lens through which. And it was when I was able to start coming back to my feminine. And when I talk about feminine, it's why I use the words untamed divine feminine, because it's not just about being soft and, quiet and at home and baking
Passive,
bread and passive.
right.
That's not my version of the divine feminine. My version is like, yes, you can connect to your softness, your flow, your slowdown when you need to, but you can also connect to your rage, to your joy, to your pleasure, to all everything that makes the divine feminine so beautiful, which is wild and untamed and raw and truth-telling.
I love it.
And that was such an important part of my shift of understanding that I was ignoring the truth of who I was inside in a very fundamental way, which was what led to me being in the position that I was in.
Well, if we're honest, again, we were talking about socialization. So we look at who's successful and, who are they? Yes, there are women in the mix. Yes, they are doing things. Many, many more women are coming to the forefront. But 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it's all men. So men are being paid more. Men are in a position of leadership in companies. Men call the shots. I mean, look at the environment now. We are supposed to take cues from men to tell us what to do with ourselves, our body, our marriages, ourselves. We only knew that men were successful, women were too emotional, couldn't handle things. We were told, I'm going to say, a pack of lies. And it's only until, again, I'm so thankful your journey and you telling our listeners that no, this is not true. So I'd love for you to give me an example of the feminine untamed divine. Let's say you're working, you're on a team with women and men, and you're sensing that you're not getting to share. The men are taking over. The manager kind of leans towards the men because, frankly, they're socialized as well. What would you do using your feminine, untamed divine?
Yeah, I mean, what an amazing question, Jody. I will say before I launch into this answer, I want to caveat it with that there, depending on who you are and what position you're in, there's a lot of privilege of being able to speak up or speak against systems, that are hurting us. And so this is not always going to be possible for everyone in every situation. However, what I would recommend first and foremost is this remembrance of self, of understanding, like coming back into your body, into your truth, and really getting clear on what is important to you. What is the truth for you? What are your values? What do you believe in? What do you not believe in? Because from that place, I think is where we can start to speak up in a way that is productive, that really does speak to shifting the systems we want to. Because understandably, women who have been silenced in one form or another, whether it's in a boardroom, at home, or just societally for most of their life, if not all of it, are probably going to have quite a bit of anger. And that anger, while I think is a beautiful tool for change, can spill out in ways that maybe aren't as helpful in more, let's say, corporate environments if we haven't connected to, okay, what is really true under here? What is it? And how am I allowing my these emotions? Because the movement of emotions are so important. How am I letting these move so that what remains is truth? So that when I'm in a situation where maybe I'm being talked over at work or ignored or what have you, I can come with like an anchored truth to my voice that doesn't feel like lashing out, which can be so. I like, listen, I am not faulting any woman who again has had to stuff this all down for lashing out, but being able to really speak from a place of truth and also understand when and where that truth is deserved. Because a woman's intuition, a woman who's in touch with that untamed divine feminine, that is some magic. Like, that is powerful stuff. And she will, like, even just with her voice frequency, be able to shift how things move, how things unfold. And it's understanding too, is this the place that deserves that kind of magic?
And
Is this a
I get that. When you have been repressing feelings, thoughts, beliefs for years, and you're just starting to get in touch with yourself, it is going to be messy when those thoughts emerge. And that's just who we are, and it is a great thing. But I love it that you have pointed out may not be the best thing in a group, in a work setting, because let's face it, when we are neutral, speaking from our heart and our mind, people listen. When we've got tone and anger, people move away. I know I do. And I say, well, let's come back to that when we can listen to one another and talk about it. So you're absolutely right. So what, let's say a woman has been processing, maybe working with some of your tools. What would she do in that situation or any situation where she feels she's not being seen?
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, I think first is being able to speak the truth, find the people that you can speak the truth with and see how what their level of reception is. I really wish that I could just say, go in there and say your truth and
Burn it
people
down.
were burn it all down. Like, there's a part of me a lot of days who's like, let's just burn it down and start again. I'm very well aware that that's not always the option. So first it's being more truthful, whatever that looks like to you in the moment. And that's also going to be incremental over time. When I first started, for example, setting boundaries and speaking more truthfully in my business, that looked at the beginning like not taking meetings before 10 a.m. when I thought I just had to say yes to everyone everywhere all the time. Being more honest about, like, putting vacation on my calendar or when I need to take time off and things like that. It wasn't everything at all at once. So the patience of the incremental evolution, I really think is an art in this coming back to self. But I would say where you can speak truth more, and which will vibrationally bring people towards you who also believe in that truth, who also are like, yeah, I don't think that that's fair. Like, why is that happening? And then you start to kind of create your community, your tribe within maybe a larger situation or structure that isn't working for you. At which point, then that can create more confidence to say more, to do more. But I, unfortunately, I've seen enough situations, particularly in corporate, where you can speak your, speak your truth, and it just does not move the needle.
Right.
And I've seen it with, I'll take my sister, for example. She stood up and basically kind of sacrificed herself for her team to speak the
Wow.
truth about something,
Wow.
and she was let go.
Oh.
And she's in a very privileged situation that she was able to take that risk, and it felt really important to her that she did. And she would have rather, said what she said, and shared her truth than swallowed it back down. And that was her path. We don't all have in every moment that
Right.
ability, but just little micro moments of more truth, of more. And the more you do it, the more you say it, the more you show yourself and the universe, honestly, how to pour back into you. It's like you're up leveling that vibration. And it will shock you sometimes how people respond to that. Because especially in corporate environments, it can be a lot of BS, if I'm quite
Oh yeah.
honest.
Oh yeah.
And people are ready. They're like, oh my God, thank goodness that you just said that. I'm
Yes.
exhausted. I thought I was the only one feeling like this. And now you say it. And now then the kind of like the light starts to like
Yeah.
brighten more. And you're like, oh, we were all living in a little bit of this like robotic situation.
Well,
And
there's also people get the sense when there's safety and when they can speak out or not. I mean, a lot of people know that if they're gonna speak out, they're gonna step out of their role, they're gonna be viewed as, negatively, even though in the long run it really helps the team, helps the business. So what I tend to
And
recommend is go to a mentor in the company, run it by them, say, will this fly? Or should I keep my mouth shut and then maybe I have to start looking at another position, at another job outside this. And pardon me, you were going to mention something.
no, Jody, I was actually, I'm so glad you said exactly that because honestly, if you can, I would, and you have spoken up or you have shared or you are, do feel like you're trying, if you can, leave. And I know it can feel really scary. And when I say leave, this applies to jobs, to businesses, even within your own business. Maybe you're working with a client or with someone that is just not aligned anymore. Pivot.
Yeah.
It's a relationship. Women know, like in my experience, I knew from my previous relationship within the first 3 months that it
Oh.
wasn't going to work. We were
Okay.
together for 7 years.
Oh, goodness.
So
You have
I,
a lot of hope, don't you? It will
do.
change. It will. Wow, kudos.
Yeah, I do have a lot of that hope. And I will say I approach relationships very differently now than I
Yeah.
did. I was young. I was in my mid-20s. It was a very
Yeah.
different situation. I did have a lot of hope. And I do like to see the good in people. I see beneath a lot of the layers and conditioning. And because I'm someone myself who deeply believes in evolution of self, I also assume that everyone else has that same approach, which is not the case.
I
But
love the optimism.
if, yeah, if you know, like it's okay to leave, it's okay to pivot, it's okay to start over. It can feel abundantly scary. And I know that we have these like n ages in our mind where we're like, well, I'm 35, I can't end this relationship, move back in with my parents, start over again in life and in business. You can do that at 40 and 50 and 60. Is it going to be easy? No, but your truth, your inner knowing deserves that opportunity to be proven how like right your own intuition is. And the power that comes from that is huge. Like the doors that that opens is incredible.
I love that. And you are so right about pivoting because it keeps us small if we don't. It keeps us from living this expanded life or whatever stories we're telling ourselves. I put this much time into it. I can't walk away. I'm making this much money. Whatever the stories are, because it will catch up to you and you will figure it out. You will
Yes.
have that faith in yourself and figure that out. Now, I want to go back to something that you said earlier about taking micro moments, because it's really about disrupting what we are used to doing in a patterned way to really reset this neuroscience in our brain to start looking at things differently, to be mindful, to be awakened, to be saying, I've been sitting in front of my computer for an hour and a half, and I've been in the black hole. My body is hurting me. I better get up. Why didn't I, why couldn't I have been aware of that moment 45 minutes ago? So tell me about the micro moments, how you use them, and then maybe what are some of those so our listeners can start internalizing those.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I am famously an all or nothing person. So when I say like this is something that I've done, I say it from a place of like I was historically the type of person who would be like, if I can't work out 5 or 6 days a week, what's the point? If I can't get this perfect and switch right away, then I would just not do it, which then turned into a story of not having willpower, of not having discipline. And when I started working towards these micro moments in my life and focus more on consistency of alignment rather than consistency of action, that was a huge shift for me. Realizing that consistency doesn't mean showing up exactly the same way every single day. It means looking at the things that you value in life and saying, I value this enough that I identify as someone who goes to the gym, and there will be weeks where I can't make it because I'm busy, but that doesn't mean that I can then get back on, or there'll be times where I can make it once, and that is still great. So it's really like shifting how you think about consistency and then bringing those micro moments into your life. So some, like I said, they can be so simple. For me, it started with breath. I really started connecting with my breath. And when you talk about like sitting at the computer and kind of being in that black hole, I love a hyper focus moment. I can go into that black hole for like 6 hours without noticing and not eating and all of that stuff.
Wow, goodness.
Breath has really helped me in those moments where my body can lock into that kind of survival state. And I started by just noticing, okay, when I notice that that tightness in my chest starts to come up, I take 3 deep breaths. So it wasn't like I'm going to now commit to a breathwork journey 4 times a week and start meditating. It was at my desk in the middle of my day. Can I bring my breath into my present awareness and take 3 deep breaths? And that's it. It takes me 3 seconds, 3 to 5 seconds. And as I did that more, when we talk about neuroplasticity and changing our pathways, my body then started enacting that on my behalf when I might get into a stressful moment, when I get an email and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. 3 deep breaths would just automatically come into my present awareness. And then the other piece being, where can you bring presence into your everyday, even if it's just for a moment? So, I think one that may resonate with a lot of people listening is when I sit down in the morning to eat breakfast, my inclination is to grab my phone and eat with my phone, or grab my computer and start my emails while I eat, because that's super efficient. Giving yourself that pause, that moment where you go to grab it and saying, no, I deserve this moment with my food being present. I don't need to be efficient right now. So, in that, being with your cup of coffee, if you drink coffee in the morning, and just giving yourself a moment to just breathe in the smell, breathe in the moment. Again, even if that's going to be 2 minutes and then you have to get back into your day, these are those kind of micro moments of saying, I deserve to pause and enjoy this. I deserve to put pleasure before the to-do list. And then that can grow into looking like, and this is something I want to re-implement in my life right now because it's sort of fallen off the tracks, booking in the moments of joy and then fitting work and life around those,
I
right?
love that.
Versus saying on a Friday, by the end of the week, I'm going to decide how I'm going to spend my weekend, but I've just exhausted myself all week. So all I want to do is lay on the couch.
Right. And it sounds like you, by doing that, putting work into the moments of joy and spaciousness, is really prioritizing yourself and saying, I'm important and I need to do this because this is what living is. It's balance. It's going outside with my tea and hearing the bird song or smelling the plants or whatever brings you back into your body, which is, first of all, I love the way you're using somatic cues for going into the body. First of all, that a computer, my chest is tight or my gut is tight. And if you eat with your phone, folks, your gut's going to be tight. Worst thing for your digestion ever. Don't eat with your phone. So it's very somatic. Your body is telling you, yes, you feel light and good, or no, I feel contracted with what I'm doing now. So I think it's really great. You're relying on your body, and you get better at it. You may not figure it out. Your body may not feel safe to give you cues because you've ignored it. No, I'm going to continue working, or the story, I can't take a break now, or whatever. But anyways, it will take time to do that.
And I liken it to any relationship with any person. You're not going to go out into the world, meet a person, and within 15 minutes of paying attention to them, understand what makes them tick, what their facial cues might mean, how they need to be taken care of. That's the same thing with your relationship to your body. If you have spent a lot of time in your head and not connected to your body and overriding those signals that it has been sending you, it's not going to shift in 15 minutes of going inwards. It is in the micro moments, it's in the repetition, and it's in the, hey, I'm listening, even though I don't know what you want or what you're trying to tell me. That evolves over time. And that's why, like, the core foundation of the work that I do with women is about devotion to self, because
Love it.
we have been conditioned as a society that it is selfish to take care of yourself first. It is selfish to spend that time, and that you need to be doing something else for someone else before you have earned the right to take time and space yourself. And I flip that entirely on its head. The more you devote to self, the more you devote to your nervous system, create that felt sense of safety, build awareness, regulation, and repatterning, and really stretching your edges, regulating to receive, you are then able to pour into others in a way that you probably hoped you could before or were doing before, but were completely depleting yourself. And from there, as you like that devotion to self coming back to your divine feminine in that way, there is a special kind of magic that like brews from that place. There's a special kind of energy, like source, that comes from that space that then allows us to move forward into a life that we have just been craving but had no idea how to get there, right? So many.
Absolutely. Yeah, and everything we are craving, and I know the women you work with are craving for something deeper and real and authentic and not the story they've been told and socialized. You have to take care of everyone else, then you can look at yourself. So, Hannah, I'm bowing to you. I love what you're saying. It's all great. If somebody wants to further this conversation with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. Well, I would highly recommend, I have a little gift for your listeners that I would love to share. It's called The Return Journey. It's five audio activations for devotion to self, that are rooted in that connection with your body, with your nervous system, and activate this embodied feminine leadership. I think it's a beautiful place to start. And I just want every woman out there to be able to take time for herself. It's less than 10 minutes a day, delivered straight to your inbox. So that would be a great place to start engaging with this work. And then from there, I also have a community called the Return Community, where we kind of cheer each other on. And coming into there, you can learn lots of different ways that you can continue this work for yourself, or deeper, like you said, with a mentor, with a coach. Because when we can co-create and reflect in that way, it can be really, really beautiful what arises.
Yeah, absolutely. So to get the gift, and also I want to mention your website so they can learn more about you. Your website is somasoma.ca. All
Correct.
right, as in Canada. And to get to the return, with a lot of those, ooh, I love that. Love the Canadian accent. So somasoma.ca. /return journey. Is that correct? Have
Actually,
that
it's
right?
somasoma.ca/offerings, and you'll be able to find
Offerings.
it there.
Okay, great. Well, it has been such a pleasure talking with you, and I just so believe in what you said, Hannah. I know a lot of my listeners will be inspired just to take some time from themselves and really start transitioning into something much bigger and better.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Jody. Your energy is gorgeous, and I'm really, really appreciative of this conversation.
Oh, great. All right. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'm gonna keep breathing. I've just been reminded,
Perfect. Me too.
breathe. All right. You take care.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people.